Lord in prayer. Matthew 24 in one hand, Matthew chapter 28 in the other. All right, Matthew chapter 24, I'm just going to read the first three verses here. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" All right, look over here again then at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Notice what he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So I want to give you some things tonight about the end of the world. The end of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, I thank you for your mercies tonight. I sure appreciate being able to come, Lord. And we just, Lord, I do confess I'm nothing. And Lord, I'm not even worthy to be here. And I thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. And I pray that you might minister to the folks here. We pray that you would give us understanding. Give anybody here, Lord, that needs their eyes opened on some things of what's going on today. And of course, this thing here about the end of the world. I do pray for Brother Hoffman as tomorrow God is going to be preaching. I just pray that you'd fill him with your spirit and give him the guidance in what to say. You, Lord, speak to people's hearts and open their eyes to get the truth and be saved if they're not. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Now, I'm going to call your attention to the first verses we read there in Matthew 24. This is, of course, where the disciples, they asked Christ specifically about the sign of his coming and the end of the world. All right, that establishes to me that, it was something on their mind. Right. Even then, you also have then the Lord establishing it was on his mind in Matthew chapter 28. He said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So that I say that concern, folks, has carried on with people even till now, and all kinds of people. What you're going to find, especially now, is all kinds of false ideas about what the end of the world means. Right? What does that mean, and how is that thing going to come about? So I think, to tell you the truth, today it is even kind of escalated even more and more than even way back then, about what the end of the world, the end of the world. In my lifetime, I remember specifically younger, I've heard many times about how the world will end, and it's going to end soon. Right? First, there's an ice age coming. Right, anybody ever hear about the ice age coming? That we're all going to have to move down to the tip of Florida, or you're going to be a popsicle, or stuff like that. And then it comes along. You get the ozone, you get global warming. Now we're all going to be boiled alive like a frog in a water pot. How that thing goes, right? It's just about folks. Isn't everybody getting onto this thing and telling you what they think? How the world is going to end. And I'll tell you, I believe the world is going to end as we know it, right? The scriptures tell us it's going to end. As we know it, the disciples were concerned about it. The Lord Jesus Christ brought it up there. And I guess I'd have to say the issue is going to be, folks, how to get to the truth of it all, right? And it's about your perspective. How you look at that, the end of the world. There are only four perspectives, I believe, on how the world will end. And we're going to whittle that thing down, and actually it's going to come to two perspectives, because two of them kind of dovetail into the other two as we see that thing. And, you get all kinds of folks, if you're thinking, there's thousands of different ways this world could end, people thinking stuff. Well, I'm going to show you there's only really two. And only one of them is going to be right, but I'm going to give you all four of them, okay? So you can kind of get maybe the right take on this thing. And of course, first of all, I want to say this. I want to give you the perspective on the end of the world, and that is as man sees it, okay? As man sees this thing. Now, I'm sure you have probably seen the cartoon of an old man with a long beard wearing a sign or a sandwich sign that says, "The end of the world is near." right? And everybody jokes at that thing and makes fun of that, and it's real funny and stuff. But I'll tell you, it's no longer so much of a joke. I mean, you don't see that thing going on because everybody has got their take about how the world's going to end and how it's going to come, and that is, I'm going to say, man's view. Now, that is going to include a whole bunch of stuff. It's like the environmental disasters in that thing, pestilences, floods, earthquakes, a nuclear war, right? Isn't it now everybody's just waiting for Putin to push the button? And when Putin pushes the button, everybody else, right, United States is going to be pushing the button, and, you know, there we are, we're all toast, okay? That is man's perspective. Okay, that's man's perspective. You have thousands of opinions on all that kind of stuff going around on how it's going to end. And there's only one problem with man's perspective. And I guess the one thing about man's opinion is, you know what? It's always wrong. Man, it's always going to be wrong, folks. So you could just kind of, I guess, just settle it in your heart. I mean, man in and of himself, folks, is never right. He ain't going to ever get the thing right. I mean, since when has man ever been right? Have they made the right call about the sexuality stuff in the last days here? There's no way. It's just gone to ridiculous on kind of stuff like that. Or, you know, you could put your finger on 1,000 other things on the list. And many other things on that they've already told you. I'm sure you've heard that this world should have already ended by now. Right, with the way that's going on, has it? Has it really? Well, unless we're just all here in the dream, you know, it hasn't, man. I've got news, and I tell you, for the world and man's view, it's not going to end the way man says it's going to end. You know why? Man is always wrong. Man is going to be wrong. So this is going to be just, I guess, one category where since man is always wrong, I'm going to group his opinions into this category here. This is as man sees it, all right? And it's always wrong. And I know they have some real smart fellows out there, smarter than me. That's for sure, okay? They have scientific folks out there, educated people, and all that. And if you listen to them all, can I tell you, you should have already been dead by now, especially with the COVID thing and all, you know, all the stuff going on. But it didn't work out the way that they even told you about the COVID and all that kind of stuff. It never works out like that because man is wrong on what they come out. And this, what they do is they bring out confusion and fear. And it's like someone running up behind, you and saying, boo. You know, and you run over here and you're afraid, and then they run behind you there and they say, boo, fire. You know, and you're going to run, you know, they're going to run people all over the place like that. You know, we're all going to die and stuff like that. Folks, that is man's opinion. That's man's view that's going on with that kind of stuff. And I should notice, I'm sure you picked it up with that man's opinion. It's always something that is going to be imminent. Right? It is something that's going to happen quickly. And they, you know, they'd sure joke about us trying to tell you, hey, the rapture's going to happen anytime soon. Right? They'll put that stuff down there. But everything and every problem that they bring out, folks, it's real imminent. I remember Al Gore, he gave us 10 years if things weren't going to change in the environment. That was 2006. Right? 10 years. And if we didn't get this environment changed up, man, we were done. And so in 2016 rolled around, well, what happened? I don't know. We're still here, folks. I mean, the ice caps, you know, they're all going to melt and we're all going to drown. Well, there's still polar bears out there. All the polar bears ain't even dead yet. That's man's view. That includes of the end of the world. So for them, you understand what it goes with that, all this kind of stuff you hear and you get is they're trying to stretch everything out so we can live longer, right? You got to get a little electric car. You don't want to use the oil. No more SUVs. You want to stretch that thing out so you can make everything last longer, you know, so we can live. But there's definitely going to be a horrible end to the world, right? It's going to come, and whenever they say that and put it over the news, you know, the end of the world is going to be... People are going to catch their breath. The end of the world. We got to change this. We got to, turn green and all kinds of stuff, you get all that kind of stuff. But as Bible believers, folks, you know that that stuff is just not right. Amen. It is the perspective of man. That's how man sees that. Okay. Now, something else here I want to look at, and it's found in Matthew chapter 13. So turn to Matthew 13, and we'll look at this. All right. So you have man's perspective, and then in Matthew 13. Let's look here at verse 39, okay? Matthew 13, 39. And what you got is the Lord Jesus Christ here, he's mentioning, folks, the end of the world, and he explains this parable of the tares. You have the field of grain, you got the enemy coming in and sowing the tares. And verse 39, it says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. There's what we're looking at, right? And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. All right, so this is the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And this is not as man sees it, okay? What the Lord Jesus is going to give you here is not how man sees it. It's going to be as God sees it. All right, so you have man's perspective, and you're going to have God's perspective in this. And it means, folks, it means something far different to God than it means what man looks at the thing and perspects it. Man's is nuclear meltdown. It is ice age coming. It's floods, worldwide planets colliding. And that's how the world's going to end on that kind of stuff. But to the Lord, folks, he doesn't view it that way. As we're going to look, the Lord's view, of course, is from the perspective, I believe, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he sees that, right? It is him coming back, and he is going to end the world as we know it. So I want to say, with that right there, if we can say that is the case, and there's no doubt in my mind it is, that's not all bad. Okay, from God's perspective, it's not all bad. You're going to learn from God's perspective, the end is not a bad thing at all. It ain't. It's really not, folks. The best I can tell you as I look at this thing and get on, the world needs to be put out of its misery. You believe that? This world needs to be put out. It's like a horse with a broken leg. And just keeps limping along and pain stuff like that. It is, can I say, you know, Paul, you know what he tells you? He tells you this present evil world, okay? So, boy, how long ago did he write that? And this world has not gotten any better. This world, this present evil world, God knew, folks, this world needs to end. He knows that. So from his perspective, and I say the end of the world has to do with a few things he's going to mention in here. He's going to give you some things. There's judgment. There's the Son of God sitting on the throne, putting an end to all this misery and all this sin. I mean, we're looking at God's perspective. And I'm going to say, that is not mentioned by man. You didn't pick that up on the news tonight, right? You did not get that perspective. Men never see evil in this world and it connected with sin. The fact is, you know, folks, that it promotes the wickedness of sin. That's this world, okay? The view of man has no answers. They have a bunch of questions. And when they put those things in, they're going to add their lies and confusion into that thing, okay? That's the way it goes. Now, in Matthew 13, let's look at a few verses here and see what's connected with what God's perspective of this end of the world, what's going to take place. Look at verse 36. I'll just read a few here again. Jesus sent the multitude away. He went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. And again, verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. All right, so you know, number one, we're talking about that. There is a harvest coming. He says it, the end of the world. It's like a harvest. What happens in a harvest? I'm not a farmer, okay, and that kind of stuff, but I know I can pick up a little bit on this. I know what farmers do is they keep some parts when they make a harvest, right? There's some things that they want to keep. That's the good stuff, right? The grains or whatever they have, they keep that. And then I'm going to say there are some parts that they don't keep, all right? In this case right here, the Lord is going to burn it. He is going to burn the stuff he does not want. In this, it says a harvest. So there's something about that in the end of this world. It is also including judgment then, right? You got God's judgment on man. You got God's judgment on his sin going on. God is going to bring some judgment in this thing. Notice something else in verse 49. Notice what he says here, something else about this thing. 49, he says, so shall it be at the end of the world. There it is again. What? The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. All right, so that's kind of interesting. And there's going to be a severance when we're talking about the end of this world, the wicked from the just. Now, just to kind of put this together, I guess kind of settle it and say, okay, for the Lord, it is the Lord Jesus Christ coming. It is a day when God's Son is finally going to sit down on the throne, King of kings and Lord of lords, and rule this earth. Okay, can I tell you that is how the Lord views the end of the world from these scriptures. It's not how man views it. Okay, you hear a bunch of views. You can hear all kinds of stuff coming in. But can I tell you, it's real easy for me to know what you believe or what you've been doing hearing by your view of how things are going to end. You can pick up on that kind of thing. Can I ask you, who has your ear? I can tell. I'll know if you talk about these things and what you say, how the world's going to end. Is it MSNBC? Maybe Dr. Fauci, right? It's man's view. We're all going to die. It's going to be a disaster. And, you got, as your pastor says, take the jab, right? That's man's view of it, see? If you're listening to all that kind of stuff and it's got your ear, that's going to have you worried. That's going to have you focusing on that kind of stuff. Folks stretching everything out, on the gas, and you're saving this and going all green and all that kind of stuff. Or you've purchased your ticket to get on Elon Musk's spaceship, before the world goes to pieces and get on another planet, right? I tell you, it's not God's perspective. We know what God's perspective is. This place needs to go. It just needs to go. Even so come Lord Jesus, right? All right, so that's the second. Now, those things are completely different. That's the two main opposites. These other ones kind of dovetail, or I could say the man's perspective dovetails into this. It is how the devil sees it. How does the devil see it? Can I say that is mostly a perspective that is forgotten. Even among Christians, if you talk about nominal Christians and the devil just is something that's made up, the world does not believe in that anyway. When you're talking about Satan, okay? He never makes the news, all right? But you should consider how the devil sees the end of the world. So first of all, I just want you to think of, when the end of the world, and then we're talking about the devil is fully exposed, we know he is going to wind up, when you're talking about during the 1,000-year reign, he's going to end up in the pit. He's going to be chained. He's going to be bound in that. So let me ask you, when all that stuff's going on, a lot of people may get the idea, the devil must just quit, right? He's done. He's finished. He's kaput, right? I mean, does he just kind of slink out of the scene being ashamed, humbled, because he's been put in the pit? Now, folks, I realize this. I tell you, I know Jesus Christ defeated him, and his fall is coming. We're talking about Satan right there. And he is still sure active now, right? You get some of these folks think, the devil's defeated. He's he's done with, but he sure must have a long chain. he's chained. If he's still active now, it's just a matter of time. I know that, right? Nothing's going to detract from the Lord's victory. Thank God from that. He is victorious, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? I tell you, I don't think that the devil is going to just slink off and give up at the end of that time. He ain't going to do it. I think this, I take it a little bit further. I think he's happy. Folks, the devil, I think he's happy in the fact of his successful part that he has done. He is really warped. You think of that thing. At the end of the tribulation, what he has done? He has deceived the whole world, the scripture says in Revelation. All right? And he was here from the start when Adam and Eve fell. He had a part in that. He is out then to mess up all that he can mess up He is the God of this world, small g. He's deceiving people right now. And as the devil sees it, I think, you know, maybe off of that, he has been successful. He's been successful. I have a hard time just thinking the devil, folks, doesn't know where he is going to wind up, right? You realize he does know the scriptures, right? He's wiser than Daniel on that kind of stuff. He knows he's defeated, I believe. And so right now, folks, I just think, you know, on this thing with the devil, he is out to smash and destroy and kill just as much as he can possible. His goal from the start, just to mess up stuff, anything that God does or God has a part of. You as Christians, you are God's. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to do all he can. He can't get your soul, but he's going to do everything he can to mess you up. He knows there's coming a day, right, where he's going to be. But can I tell you, I believe from the scriptures, he's going to be comforted. Right? You understand? I'm sure you got that scripture, right? You know, Ezekiel 32, take a look over here. Let's look at it real quick. In Ezekiel 32, you find Pharaoh, a type of Satan in that, right? In Ezekiel chapter 32, and this is what he says as you go down through these things. Verse 18, notice, you know, the mention of this, like the pit and hell, and how many times this then is going to be associated with Pharaoh or Satan. Son of man, verse 18, wail for the multitude of Egypt, cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. All right, look at verse 21. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell, with them that help him. They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Hell is down, okay? Heaven's up. I still like saying that, right? I know it's north. Heaven's north. But when you, hell is right down in the midst of our feet. Look at verse 24. There's Elam and all her multitude round about her grave, all them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. Verse 27, again, they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell. He calls it hell, the pit, the nether parts there. The weapons of war, they've laid their swords under their heads. Their iniquities shall be upon their bones. And though they were tearing the mighty in the land of the living. Look down at verse 29 then. There's Edom, her kings, her princes, which with their might are laid by them that are slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised, with them that go down to the pit. Now look at verse 31, folks. He says, Pharaoh, we know who he's talking to directly in this thing. It's going to be Satan, all right? Pharaoh shall see them, all those folks that are down in the pit and in hell, and those and shall be comforted over all his multitude. Even Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. What a thing is that, right? You understand then, if you go to Isaiah 14:11, it says he goes down into the pit and the worms cover him. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? All right, you understand, I know when you get to the New Testament, you read in there about hell and you read about where the worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. So what's going on there? Well, we know those worms is going to be a reference, folks, to those souls in hell. And they're going to be covering Satan, right? In hell. What a horrible thing. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's on the cross, he said, I am a worm and no man. Okay? Well, he took literally, I think, on him the image essentially of Satan. As a serpent and as a worm, right? We know, folks, the children of the devil are lost people that are going to be burning in hell, just as much as we know one day we're going to be like our Father, like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a body just like unto his. The lost are going to have a body like unto their Father. Folks, it's those worms covering them on that. I'm going to say, you know, then Satan is going to be comforted by all those souls he deceived. They are his family. right? He's going to have all his family with him on that. And can I tell you, he will be comforted in that. And that is going to be, I believe that is the view of the end of the world for Satan. All right, on that kind of stuff. Man, that's not good, right? First, there's God's view. That's the right view, right? That's the right perspective. Then you got the devil's perspective. And honestly, because the devil is the god of this world, and he's blind the minds of men that follow him, man's view is going to be, I guess, put into that kind of thing with the devil there. That's why I say there's only really two perspectives if you take man's and kind of mix that in with the devil in there, right? There's God and the devils, and the devil, you know what he does right now, folks? He is getting people to focus on all kinds of stuff, getting them to think, you know, along with the news you hear and all that kind of stuff about the end of the world, how it's going to turn out, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so they don't think about their soul. They don't think about eternity. They don't think about those kind of things. And one day, Satan, they're going to end up in hell if they've never trusted Jesus Christ. And Satan's going to go there, and he's going to meet them, and he's going to tell them how he deceived them. And he is going to be comforted in all those folks he deceived. That's a perspective, right, folks? You know, you don't hear too much on that. Now, lastly, there's one other. And, of course, you know what that's going to be, right? If you've got the devil and his followers, right, those things right there, then there's going to be God's perspective and who? His children, us. There's another perspective on this thing. And, of course, look at Titus chapter 2. We'll look at two places in here and read these about the end of the world and how you think on that. Titus chapter 2, and I'm sure you're real familiar with these things. These verses are pretty well taught and preached, generally over here, Bible believers. Titus 2:13, right? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look back over at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now notice verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, all right, you see it as man seen it. We've seen it as the devil's perspective. And we see some things about how God sees this. And joined with him, folks, is how the saints see it. Right? Those things right there, how it's going to end. Our view ought to reflect the Lord's view, right? So, I mean, I'm talking right now about New Testament church age saints. That's you. Yeah, you've been born again. You've been saved. We're talking, you trusted him by faith and faith alone. And you understand, I'm sure, folks, you're not going to go through the tribulation, right? That's pretty basic for us, right? You know that? There will be saints in the future that I guess the end of the world will affect more than it does us, okay? But the end of the world for you and for me, it's not going to affect you, okay? Because you get out of here before the world ends, right? Amen. We're going to get out in a pre-tribulation rapture. On that, we will be changed like the Lord Jesus Christ when this stuff is going on and takes place, folks. We'll have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We will miss the whole tribulation, right? Not going through that, right? And the end of the world as we know it. And I say the Lord sees, you know, he's going to see his son return on that white horse coming down, you know, and smashing this stuff in judgment and dividing the wicked and the just. And if you're born again, you know, you've been saved, you've been born again, we're already seated with Christ right now in heaven and heavenly places. And as the saint sees the end of the world, and I say this, it means immortality and the blessed hope, right? That's a good ending, ain't it? I like that right now. And I understand right now we're in the nasty now and now. I call that, you know, the nasty now and now. So what do we do? Right now, I'm going to wait and put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and my burdens on him, and he'll sustain me, okay? He's going to take care of me right now through all this kind of stuff that's going on. Let me ask you, who has your ears? Okay, and that's important for you because you are going to miss the tribulation, and what really do you care about the latter times? Okay, because it seems to me you ought to be more concerned about, you know, how you are doing spiritually right now. and your walk with the Lord, okay? You're not to be worrying. You don't have to be worrying about what's going to be taking place, what this world is going to face and all that kind of stuff. It affects nothing. Honestly, the things that impact us, it's almost just like right now seasons, right? What is that? Seasons come and seasons go. Wars come and wars are going to go and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter a hill of beans, folks, on the stuff that goes by. You are getting out before the end of the world. Our perspective is far different from the average man. It should be, right? The saints, as saints, your perspective is to be different on that. You ought not to be thinking like the average guy thinks. I know you can't disregard everything, okay, in this world. You have to get up in the morning, go to work, or you got to, you know, plant your garden or do whatever you got to do and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it means, folks, you shouldn't let the news show you how to think and live. You should not have that perspective that they put through, you know, everybody's mind and heart, controlling your mind. If you're saved, you have the mind of Christ. Well, what's that? I think you have the Bible to influence you, right? You've got God's words right there. The point is, all right, the world is wrong. The world's wrong. It ain't going to be right. If you're saved, you're not going to go to the end of the world. And I just tell, you know, folks, hey, you know, they're getting some arguments and stuff. If you want to go through the tribulation, okay, well, stay lost if you're lost and take on the wrath of God in the tribulation. You can face the Antichrist and take the mark if you want to and be, you know, all that kind of stuff and go on. Not me. I'm a chicken, man. I'm going up and out when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And I'm going to say here tonight, if you're lost, I don't know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be born again, all right, to escape hell. That's the only way. Believe the gospel, right? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and Him alone on the cross, and you will get the right perspective, right? And get your mind in the book and off that other kind of stuff and how God sees some stuff. And it might help you some, amen? It helped me, amen? All right, folks, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your mercies tonight. Appreciate these folks coming out. I just pray you'd bless the word of God. And Lord, help us to have the right view. Help us to have the right perspective. Help us to be your people, people of the book. And Lord, keep our eyes on you, looking for your soon coming. And we'll sure give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.